Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to episode 19 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. And let's get started. I am once again recording in the morning. This has become my standard Wednesday morning routine. I am almost done with my coffee, but I still have a little bit. What are y'all drinking? I'd like to know. We are going to talk today about what I've been up to. Finished objects, works in progress, upcoming, which is actually now a works in progress since I wrote these notes, a reminder about our knit along, and in the kitchen. If you would like to join us on our Ravelry group, you can find us as Kitchen Stitches on Ravelry, obviously. And we are up to 73 members, so I would love to see that number hit 100. And I'm trying to think of a giveaway for that, but I haven't thought of one yet. If you have any ideas, any desires, anything you'd like to see, just let me know. So let's go on to what I've been up to. I've talked several times about Brazos Bend State Park. We went out there again this past weekend. Nothing too terribly exciting, just a hike. It was kind of nice because I don't know that I had necessarily, well, it's kind of become a norm for us to go hiking somewhere one day of the weekend. But I hadn't given much thought to it this weekend or this past weekend until Jimmy mentioned that one of Laura's friends who had gone with us maybe the weekend before that, I'm not sure when it was, had mentioned that she wanted to go hiking again. And this is somebody whose family doesn't do much outside. They aren't into this kind of thing. And I am all for supporting someone's desire to get out and do this kind of thing. So that wasn't exactly why we went, but it was definitely a push to get us out the door this past weekend. Anything interesting while we were out there? We took a different, this park has a ton of different, I had a sneezing fit right before I started, so I'm still a little sniffy. There are a lot of different trails that we can walk on in various different types. A lot of them are around lakes. And that's where I like to go and see my alligators. And there are a couple, but this one for sure is way back in the park, and it is through a wooded area, which is not the norm for this park. And I mean, the woods are a norm, but the path, this kind of trail isn't. And I really like that one. It's not as highly traveled. There are a few hills, which is unusual for this part of the country. Not big hills, but just a little bit. The terrain is not just completely flat. So that was nice. And that's pretty much all we did. It did, however, give me, well, it didn't give me, but I've had the camping bug. And we were talking about that and decided to bite the bullet and book a campsite for a camping trip in a few weeks. Actually, it's the Friday after school gets out. We're going to go do a one-night camping trip at Huntsville State Park, which I talked about either last week or the week before. And we decided to just get one of the shelter sites rather than worry about a tent or hammocks or whatever for this time. This is a kind of a dry run where we don't have to worry about it. We can bring our inflatable mattresses and stay on the inside the shelter and see how we like it. Hopefully it won't be too hot. It will be hot. It'll be the end of May in Texas, but it won't be as hot as it would be in, say, July or August. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's a little frustrating because we were only able to get the site on a Friday night. The kids are out of school. Jimmy will have to work a little bit, but it's the last day of school. He'll get to leave early. But I have to actually work. I may end up taking half a vacation day just because to get to this particular park, we have to go up Interstate 45, and on a Friday afternoon, the traffic is going to be a nightmare. So if we can get a kickstart on our day by me leaving early, that would be great. I really am apologizing for the snorting. And then, of course, we'll have to give up our campsite during the day, which I really wanted a full weekend where we could just come and go. Like I said, this is a dry run. If everything goes well, we can do that another time. But I am looking forward to that. And, you know, the kitchen part of my Kitchen Stitches side wants to go and get a book of things to cook over the campfire. So I'm going to check out. I know we have one at my library, but I haven't had a chance to actually go down and look at it yet. So that is what I've been up to. I hope that any of you who are in the paths of the tornadoes this week are safe and your families and friends are safe. Luckily, here in Houston, we don't have the tornado problems that those of you in other areas of the country do. We do get an occasional tornado, but they're not nearly as common. However, I did grow up in Mississippi, so I am all too familiar with those types of storms. Luckily, my family has never been directly hit, although Mom had to evacuate, or chose to evacuate, for this storm. Excuse me. On Monday. And my brother and his family were huddled in the bathroom. And from the looks of the radar that my mom posted on Instagram, the storm went directly over both of their homes, or are very close. So it's a scary time. One of my most vivid memories of childhood was when I was in second grade and there was a tornado warning and we were all, you know, huddled in the hallways with our heads over our hands. And it was, you know, we had tornado drills all the time, but this is the only one that I very clearly remember that the skies were black and it was dark. And a friend of mine on Facebook reminded me that we could hear the doors at the ends of the halls banging, and it was really scary. So, like I said, I hope that all of you who are in the paths and are still in the paths, I think it's all blown off after last night. I hope y'all are all safe. So let's move on to finished objects. I actually do have a few. I finished my Hitchhiker. And this is a paid pattern by Martina Bem. And I use Spartacus dyes. And I don't think I'm saying that right, but I've only seen it written. In Where Bluebirds Fly, which is a rainbow variegated colorway. It's beautiful. And it's on the Will and Grace base, which was, I don't know the fiber cut. I don't remember. I don't know the percentages, but it's a merino nylon blend. I ended up with 33 teeth, and it's plenty long. I am a short person, so I don't need the full 42 teeth. This will be perfect. I also finished my blurred lines. They're actually on my feet right now. This is a paid pattern by Megan Williams. And I used Fishnets yarn in the Fuji colorway, which was a fundraiser for Don and James of Wolf Farms for their little chihuahua Fuji, obviously. And it is a self-striping in various greens and an off-white. I'm sorry if my voice like fades out a little bit. I'm looking down. There's two dark green stripes that are just barely different, which was this pattern where you switch pattern a little bit when the colors change. That was a little difficult because it was sometimes hard to see when the color switched from this one dark green to the darker green. And then a light green, kind of like a chartreuse, and then a sage green. And it's really pretty. And they're very comfortable, and they fit my feet perfectly. Probably the best fitting socks I have ever made. The Megan's OMG heel is amazing. If you haven't tried it, I recommend it. I made 2 or 3 sock yarn blanket squares. I've kind of designated Sunday as Scrappy Sunday, just so I can have a dedicated day where I make some progress on the blanket. I don't remember if I made 2 or 3. I didn't get to work on it until later in the evening. And I know that I must have done 2 because I added 4 squares total. 2 that I had already made and then the 2 to work into to join it. I also made a Hexy Puff in the Spartacus dyes and Where Bluebirds Fly. So those are my finished objects. I'm very proud. I was able to turn in 4 projects for Nerd Wars, which was great. Hold on just a minute while I let my dog out. Okay, I'm back. I will have to leave again in a minute to let her back in. But, where was I? Oh, Nerd Wars, yes. I was able to get 2 flexible schedule, which is basically it could be works in progress. It doesn't have to fit the theme. And then 2 challenges. That doesn't seem right. Maybe I only got 1 challenge. I don't know. No, I have no idea. I turned in some things for Nerd Wars. I don't know that I will participate again when it starts up again in about a month. I kind of want to do my own thing for a while, but we'll see. Works in progress that I have actually been working on. I started the Measure and Love hat by Megan Williams using leftover Unwind Yarn Company in the Bonnie Wee Things colorway, the one that I used when I made the Bonnie Wee Mouse. And I'm really, really, really love this hat and this yarn, but I am pretty sure that I do not have enough to do to finish the hat. I weighed it. I had, I think, 63 grams, which I figured out should be about 145 yards. And the pattern says 100 to 200 yards for the variety of sizes. And I was making the second smallest size, so I thought 145 would probably be plenty. But I am not even through the first pattern repeat, and I'm already done, not already through half my yarn. And I'm nowhere, you know, I have to do probably another repeat and a half plus decreases. So I would rather not... Hold on just a moment. Okay, sorry about that. I would rather not continue with the hat and get almost done with it and realize that I am not going to have enough. I don't want to buy a whole skein of yarn just to finish this hat and end up with this basically the same situation where I have all of this leftover yarn. While I think the price for what you get is a fair price. It's more than I want to pay just to be able to finish a hat. So I will probably rip that out. I might rip it out and make the smaller size and gift it, but I don't really have any children in my life right now that I would want to give the hat to, I don't think. And it's 100% merino and not superwash, so I don't feel comfortable giving it to charity. So I don't know, maybe I'll make mitts with it. I can't decide. I was really disappointed because I'm really liking the way this hat works up. I'm hoping Dana will bring some DK to the Into the Wool Cow. I mean, not cow. Into the Wool Retreat. And I can use that to make one of these hats. Because it was just so squishy and wonderful. What else am I working on? I am, sorry, pulling up my show notes. I picked my Clapo tea back up after several months of not touching it. I've been really dedicating most of my time to the Into the Wool knit along. Since that knit along, it actually ends today, but I have finished everything that I was going to do for it. I didn't need to make sure I posted everything before that day ends. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, I picked it back up yesterday, and this I'm going to just leave it work as my work yarn, or working my work project for now. I may switch that out when I start new socks tomorrow. We'll have to see. I like having a project that is dedicated to just staying at work because it means that I'm going to make steady progress on it. And I had forgotten how beautiful this yarn is that I am using for this. I'm using Blue Heron Rayon Metallic, and it was a splurge. I had wanted it for the longest time, and it actually wasn't too much of a splurge because I had an Amazon local coupon for one of our yarn stores, and I was able to take a spindling class and have some leftover, and I used the leftover to purchase this skein. So I probably paid about half price, which is reasonable. But it is so luxurious, and the colors are just absolutely amazing. It's purples and like dark blue and purples with I don't know what makes up the metallic portion of it, but it is so pretty. I really wish I had thought about it, and worked on it because we were going to a wedding on Friday night, and it would have been perfect to wear with a black dress. But alas, there is no way that I will finish this. I've only, for those of you who have done the Clapeau Tee, I've dropped two lines of stitches. I'm sure there's a word for that. But anyway, that is in progress and I am enjoying it. I am still working on the Once Upon a Time sampler. I started my March square on Monday. I seem to have misplaced one of my hanks of embroidery floss, which is really frustrating, and I'm not really sure how I managed to do that because I'm keeping them all in a Ziploc bag. Perfect organization skills, right? But for some reason, the brown is not in there anymore, so I'm going to have to go buy one dinky little thing of embroidery floss. And I hate to go to Michael's or Joann's just for one thing. I mean, well, one little bitty thing like that. But it will have to be done if I'm going to continue to make progress. And the progress is slow, but I am slow and steady wins the race. I have as my upcoming what I wanted to cast on, but I actually ended up casting this on last night. If you remember, if you've been listening, when I went to Austin about a month ago, maybe a little longer now, I went to Hill Country Weavers, and I ended up buying a kit for the Elizabeth Zimmerman Baby Surprise jacket, and I decided to cast that on last night, and I did 3 or 4 rows on that. And I'm doing in the kit came with Koigu, I don't remember what they all stand for, but it's the KPPPM. And I don't know the color name, it's just numbers, but it is purples and greens, and it is going to be very pretty. It'll be very unisex, so I haven't completely decided who is going to be the recipient of this. I think it will depend on how big it turns out, because giving a sweater to a baby born in the summer in Houston doesn't make a whole lot of sense if it's newborn size. And then, you know, who else? You know, I don't know. It may just go in a gift box. It may go in a hope chest for my kids once, you know, for one day when they have babies. But it looks like a fun pattern, or a challenging pattern and fun. And I am looking forward to working on that some more. I want to mention our Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. Again, all of the details are in the group on Ravelry. Basically, you can knit gifts or ornaments or decorations for any winter holiday, and the only rule really is that you have to be a member of the group. I think we've got two submissions for the April through June quarter, I have been very, very negligent and have only done 2 ornaments. So I'm 2 months behind right now. Yikes. I'll try to catch up because the whole point of it was that I wanted to have enough ornaments to decorate a desktop tree over this coming year's holidays. I need to get on with that. The grand prize at the end of the year will be something from my mom's shop, Absolute Wonder, on Etsy. The next quarterly prize, which will be awarded at the end of June, so the first podcast in July, will be an Etsy gift certificate of probably $10. So there you go. Okay, so it is now Friday morning, April, no, not April anymore, May the 2nd. I didn't have time to finish podcasting the other morning, so I broke it right in the middle. So I'm going to go on to the In the Kitchen, but there are a couple of things that I have done since Wednesday when I recorded the first part that I want to talk about, just a couple of things. I mentioned when I was recording the other day, so just a couple of minutes ago for you guys, that I was considering casting on the it is still very early and I am still waking up, the Elizabeth Zimmerman baby surprise jacket. And I actually did cast that on Wednesday night, and I am, I think, 10 rows into it, and it's going swimmingly so far. I am just at the point, if anybody has ever made this, then you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, you all have no idea what I'm talking about. I am right at the point where I actually start having to do something interesting. I don't know. Everything so far has been just adding. This jacket is based on kind of the mitered square concept. And so the first part has just been kind of set up, and now I'm doing something with make ones, and I don't know. I will see when I get to this next row that I am on. and then the other thing I actually cast on, because May 1st was yesterday, and I got to cast on my May socks, and I very happily pulled out my Kirby Wurby for May and the Grandpa's Rainbow Suspenders colorway. And I am going to do the Mystic Spiral socks by Josh Ricks, which I know Knittables was doing a pair, and I've seen a few others on Instagram. So you may have seen those. Those are really interesting construction using short rows, and it kind of looks like a mummy wrap. They're really neat. My only concern on these is that they call for, it's 68 stitches around, which is 12 more than I normally make. But his instructions say one size fits all, except you can modify the length. So, maybe there's something about the construction that draws them in a little bit. What I did, just because I don't trust that, and they're so complicated that I don't want to try to do the knitter math to figure out how to bring them down in size. I just cast on with a size smaller than I normally cast on. So I am working these on a 00, which I've never done, and it is like knitting with toothpicks. I think I'm going to like it. The fabric, I'm only barely in the toe. I've done about 8 rounds of the toe, and it's feeling pretty bulletproof right now, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. So we will see. It may turn out that they're too big. In which case, what I may do, I think I'll have to change patterns if that's going to be the case. If it were another yarn, I would consider just going, keeping going and then using them, gifting them to someone. But I'm keeping these Kirby Wurby socks. So, I don't know. Anyway, I will move on to In the Kitchen as planned. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was some chicken enchiladas that I made this week. I posted a picture on Instagram, and a few people asked me for the recipe. I am not an improviser when it comes to the kitchen. I generally follow a recipe pretty closely. I'm becoming more adventurous as I get older, or maybe as I get more experienced. Excuse me. I tend to know more now about what spices do what, or, you know, instead of having to use a measuring spoon, I know about what a teaspoon looks like in the palm of my hand, and that kind of stuff. So, I can't think of the phrase. Again, it's early. Anyway, I just follow the recipe pretty closely. For this, I had something in mind, but I didn't have an exact recipe, so I may have borrowed a little bit and just kind of came up with my own. I had leftover chicken from the slow cooker chicken tacos that I had made, I guess, last week. And I, excuse me, I'm really sorry. This slow cooker chicken tacos was not as good as before because I didn't have any salsa on hand. It was one of those things where I went to the grocery store thinking I had all the ingredients and then came back and realized that I didn't have everything I needed. And one of those was a crucial ingredient, which was a jar of salsa. I actually had a jar of salsa, but what it looked like had happened, I thought it was a new jar that had never been opened and it was in the pantry. And when I grabbed it, it was kind of crusty. It was clear that it had not been an unopened jar and it was unusable, which was really frustrating. I don't know if I bought it off the shelf that way or if we had opened it and used a tablespoon or something, you know, just one night and I just thought it was unopened. Anyway, I didn't have salsa. So what I did was use just a little bit of chicken broth so that it wasn't too dry, and the same seasonings, and it was okay. It wasn't as spicy, and it wasn't as flavorful as with the jar of salsa. It was usable. It was okay on quesadillas and in the enchiladas, but if you do make that recipe, don't leave out the salsa, or be willing to, you know, do some major experimenting. As I was saying, I had a lot of this chicken left over, and I knew because it wasn't that great, I wasn't going to take chicken tacos to lunch at work or anything like that. So I needed something to do with it. So I decided to make chicken enchiladas. And I knew that I wanted to make green enchiladas, so using a salsa verde. And I decided that I've discovered that I hate tedious tasks. I hate chopping vegetables. I hate dropping out cookies. I hate, there was something I had my daughter do the other day just because I hate that part of the task. Oh, slicing bananas for the banana pudding that I'm going to talk about next. And this is one of those, just sitting and rolling out rolling up the enchiladas is just something I didn't want to do. So I made it as a casserole instead. And what I did, instead of buying a jar of salsa, because I couldn't find the one that I like, the Salsa Texas that I had talked about, I think, in a previous podcast, the grocery store that carried it has closed, and I couldn't find it, or what I considered an acceptable substitute. So I just bought a can of old El Paso green enchilada sauce, and mixed that with a little bit of sour cream and a little bit of lime juice. And actually, before I did that, I spread a little bit, just a couple of tablespoons of the green sauce before I mixed it with the sour cream in the bottom of a baking dish. Laid out corn tortillas to cover the bottom and then alternated between the Monterey Jack cheese and the sauce that I made with the sour cream and lime juice and enchilada sauce and chicken. And I think I did cheese, then sauce, then chicken. I think I might have mixed up a little bit on the next row. But basically you layer that and end with a layer of tortillas with the remaining sauce on top of it, and then just a lot of cheese on top. and bake it. And it was really, really good. I need to play with the sauce a little more. It didn't quite have the flavor that I wanted. But overall, it was really, really good and super easy. So that is the basic recipe. I'll write it down and put it in our Ravelry group. But it's not, I don't have an official recipe, but I'll kind of guidelines on what I did. How about that? The next thing I wanted to talk about in the kitchen was banana pudding. And I have always liked banana pudding. But a few years ago, I discovered Paula Deen's recipe for Not Your Mama's banana pudding. And this is quite honestly one of my favorite foods, one of my favorite things to make, one of the recipes I get requests for from people at work. There are a couple of people at work who I couldn't tell you their names. They know who I am because I'm the one that brought that banana pudding that time. It's that good. So I can't remember the differences, main differences between a regular banana pudding. And there's so many different varieties that it's hard to say what a regular banana pudding is. But I will tell you what this one is. Most banana puddings that people are familiar with use vanilla wafers. And this one does not. Sorry, a sip of coffee. It uses Pepperidge Farm brand Chessmen cookies, which are, I don't know exactly what type of cookies they are. They're kind of like shortbread cookies, but they have the little Chessmen stamped into them, and they have a little bit of a glaze on them. They're a little sweeter, I think, than what I think of as shortbread cookies, but you use those. So you line another dish, baking dish, usually like a 9x13 baking dish, with one pack of Chessmen cookies, and then put about 6 or so bananas on top of that, sliced bananas, and then the filling is made of, and I'm not going to give you proportions because I can't remember them, but if you Google Not Yo Mama's banana pudding and Paula Deen, you'll find this recipe all over the web. But it's basically cream cheese and sweetened condensed milk, vanilla pudding, and Cool Whip. I think that's it. And so you mix the cream cheese and the condensed milk together. Then you make the banana pudding in another bowl. I am so screwing this up. You make the banana pudding, the vanilla pudding in one bowl. Then with the stand mixer, you mix together the cream cheese and the sweetened condensed milk. And then you fold in the Cool Whip into that mixture. And then you stir that mixture into the vanilla pudding. There we go. Spread that on top of the bananas and then top with the other bag of, Chessmen cookies. And refrigerate it. It would taste good right then, but it's better if it sits probably several hours or overnight so that the Chessmen cookies get just a little bit soft. It is very rich, it's really sweet, but it is absolutely to die for. If you are looking for a banana pudding that tastes more like a banana cream pie, which I'm not super familiar with banana cream pie, but this is my understanding, then this isn't the banana pudding for you. It doesn't taste like that at all. It just has a different taste. I highly recommend this recipe. It's really easy. It sounds like a lot of dishes. It's really not. I think it's 3 dishes. And you can throw it together in probably about 20 minutes. It's really easy and it's fantastic. So the other 2 things I was going to talk about are books that I picked up at the library this week. We happened to get a shipment. Not a shipment exactly, but we get new books all the time. Obviously, we're a library, but there are new book carts that will come through one of the staff areas first, and then the staff puts them out on the shelf. And we always like to look, we just kind of look through them just to see what's there. It's not exactly, it's not getting first dibs because people can put holds on them. These are already in the catalog. But if we, I always look for cookbooks or craft or knitting books and just to see what's there. And there were a couple of cookbooks that I picked up, and I'm going to do a very, very short-ish review over these two. It's got to be short. It's getting close to 7, and I'm going to have to leave soon. But I just wanted to give basically my opinion of these couple of books. One of them, I will give a further review, actually, after I've tried some things out of it, and maybe this one, too, but I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. The first one is The Homesick Texan's Family Table, Lone Star Cooking from My Kitchen to Yours, and this is by Lisa Fain. And this is a very pretty book. There are a lot of pictures. The thing that I notice most about this book is that she seems to be obsessed with jalapeno peppers. Almost every recipe calls for jalapenos, it seems. And while I am not averse to jalapenos, I don't necessarily like them in everything. Or it's, if it's not jalapeno, it's chipotle, which is just smoked or roasted, I guess, jalapeno. Like, here's one that's bacon cheddar chipotle biscuits. They look delicious. But they've got, do they have to have chipotle in them? I don't know. Here's some that don't. Angel biscuits don't. Cranberry Gruyere scones. They do not have jalapenos, but they do look really good. There's a recipe for flour tortillas, breakfast tacos, sausage and pepper breakfast casserole. See, there's my jalapenos. Bacon molasses breakfast sausage. She has a recipe for how to make your own breakfast sausage using ground pork, so you don't have to have a meat grinder to actually do this. Some really good tips at the beginning, how to make your own chili powder, roasting fresh chilies. Again, there's a lot of information about chili peppers. There's a recipe for tamales. There was a chicken recipe that looked really good. Let me see if I can find that really quick. It basically, these look really good. They're a little fancier than I like to get on just a general weekday, so I would probably wouldn't use this very much. I don't think I like it enough to actually buy it. Oh, I can't find this one. It looks so good. It was a ancho chicken. Give me one moment while I look in the, what do you call it? Index. This one is going to be called, what do you call it? Because I keep saying pollo asada. Is that the one I was looking at? 175. Why, yes, it was. It's pollo asado. And this is just a, looks like a grilled chicken. Although I think she's oven roasting it. It's, looks like she marinates it, this whole chicken, with ancho chili, vinegar, orange juice, and lime juice. And then oven roasted. It looks delicious. It looks like she's actually, I think she's butterflied it. Or spatchcocked. So that is interesting. There are also some really, really yummy looking desserts in here. Including, I think there was a Texas sheet cake. Which is one of my favorite things to make. Pecan pie, of course. We are in Texas. Strawberry shortcakes. Spicy snickerdoodles, which I might have to try. Caballero cookies, which are basically, they're cowboy cookies, if you've ever heard of those. It's kind of a bunch of everything. There are oatmeal cookies and pecans and chocolate chips and that type of stuff. There is a banana pudding recipe in here, speaking of, with peanut butter oatmeal cookies. That sounds delicious. Anyway, so that is the Homesick Texan's Family Table. It is definitely worth taking a look at, especially if you're from Texas, or maybe if you are a homesick Texan. I know I have at least one listener who has lived in Texas, Christy. You may want to take a look at it. anyway, it's promising, not one that I would probably actually purchase. I might check it out again and try a few recipes. And if I do try recipes, I will be sure to review them separately on the podcast. The other one that I picked up because I could not resist is Betty Crocker, The Big Book of Cakes. And I assume y'all know that I like to bake cakes. That's how my whole baking stuff really got started. And this one, it looks really good. There are several that start with a cake mix, which I generally don't use cake mix very much since I started making my own cakes. There's nothing wrong with a cake mix, especially if you are in a time crunch. They taste pretty darn good, but I really prefer the taste of a homemade cake from scratch. So, there may be too many cake mix recipes in here for me to actually buy the book, but there are some really good things in here too. This one is a grasshopper cake. My daughter thought this looked really good, even though she's not a big fan of chocolate and mint. But it looks like just kind of a, looks like basically a yellow sheet cake, but you have a little bit of creme de menthe in it. And then the topping, you use fudge topping, and then mint, you use creme de menthe and green food coloring and whipped topping and put that on top. It looks really good. A ginger carrot cake. I'm just flipping through and saying what I see. Spicy Mexican brownie cake. I think that looks really good. My daughter said I shouldn't make that. I don't know why. She's crazy. Fudge Lover strawberry truffle cake looks amazing. It looks really heavy and rich though. Chocolate chip caramel poke cake. This one is just a really, it's a pretty basic cake book with some varieties in here. There's this one page that shows all of the different frostings that are in here. There's a peppermint frosting, caramel frosting, lemon frosting, fluffy white frosting, fudge frosting, maple nut frosting, orange frosting, peanut butter frosting, creamy cocoa frosting, vanilla buttercream, browned butter, cherry nut, and cream cheese frosting. So a lot of varieties, a lot of options there. This lemon chiffon cake looks great. This one, what I will probably do is make a few things out of it and then decide if I actually want to buy it. Oh, this is neat. I guess I hadn't gotten through here. There's a whole section on cheesecake, by the way. But the last, is this the last chapter? It's not the last chapter. There's a section on cake balls and cupcakes. But these decorated cakes, that's really neat. There's a monster cake that looks like Frankenstein. That was really cute. It's a stuck Santa cake. It looks like a chocolate cake with white frosting piled on top. And then you make a chimney using, what are these called? Wafer cookies. And using licorice and other things, you make Santa's stuck in a chimney with his feet hanging out. That's really cute. There's a snowman coconut cake, which is really cute, but I like coconut. I don't like that much coconut. Slumber party cake is really cute. It looks like a sleeping bag with little girl's head sticking out of it. That one's just a cake. There's a panda cake. A bunny butt cake. That sounds really familiar. I need to ask you, Mom, to let me know. And for those of you who are, I haven't mentioned it in a while, my mom is a free spirit on Ravelry and owns Absolute Wonder on Etsy. But this cake looks really familiar. I think we may have had something like this when I was a kid. It's just a little bunny butt. That would be a cute Easter cake. That is so cute. Again, though, it's too much coconut, but that looks really familiar. A panda bear cake, which is really cute. Oh my gosh, an owl with babies? That is adorable. Y'all need to check this book out. I wouldn't necessarily say buy it, but check and see if your library has it or check it out at a bookstore. These are really cute. I will never make something like that, I don't think. It's too complicated, but it's pretty. There's a robot cake. Groovy jeans cake. They look like a pair of jeans. Very hippie-ish. That's cute. And this one is so cool. And again, I would never be able to make something like this. But it's a treasure chest cake. And It looks like a treasure chest that's overflowing with, like, chocolate coins and jewels and, oh, that is adorable. Again, that's way too complicated for me. what else? A guitar cake. Flip-flops. That's cute. Ooh, Legos. There's a Lego cake. And a really pretty butterfly cake. I hope I'm not boring you. I love looking through this. When I was little, Mom used to decorate cakes, and she would always get the Wilton little catalogs that had all of the cakes and cake pans in it. I loved to look through that thing. I wanted them all. Sailboat cake, party time purse cake, like a sports jersey, cute little car, and that's it. Little petit fours and stuff like that. This one looks really good. I would like to try the recipes and see if they taste as good, because that's been my opinion so far, is that the recipes may look really good, but when I taste them, they're not quite as good as I would expect, you know? This does have quite a few pictures. Now, I don't think there's definitely not a picture for every recipe, but there are quite a few, and they're pretty, nice, pretty pictures. I've decided I actually do want to learn to decorate. I don't want to learn to decorate, like, massively, but doing just little pipe roses, I think I would like to try that. But, oh, that one's really pretty. It's a tangerine ombre cake, and each layer goes from dark orange to a lighter orange, and the frosting does the same. That's so pretty. But I think you can tell, based on my review of the Homesick Texans Family Table and the cake book, which one I like better and which I gravitate towards. It's the baking that I really enjoy, unfortunately. I don't have as many occasions. I try not to bake a whole cake for just my family. It happens sometimes because I just want to. And I don't have as many occasions. When I work in a different department than I worked in at my library a few years ago, and there aren't as many employees. So if I bring cake, it lasts a little bit longer, which is a good thing and a bad thing. It kind of feels, I don't want to say it feels like a waste, but it feels like it's not as appreciated. There's only a handful of people that really like it, and then it'll sit, or you'll hear people grumbling, which is really weird. I mean, I don't think it's weird. I understand that some people are more health conscious than others, but you know, if I'm going to bring something, it's like knitting for somebody. You're not going to give it to someone who isn't going to appreciate it. So the other department that I work for has a lot more staff members. And if you put something out in that staff lounge, things are gone quickly. And if Katie and Darcy are listening, they're probably laughing because they know it's true. But I don't know. I don't know everybody there anymore. And I feel a little weird bringing as many cakes as I used to. Not to mention, I think overall the institution has had a wellness initiative, and I don't want to bring as many cakes as I used to because it's not good for people. Once every once in a while is fine, but I obviously prefer the baking to the cooking, although I do love to cook. Anyway, it is now just after 7:00. I do need to finish my coffee, and I actually am going to paint my fingernails before I leave to go to work because we have a wedding tonight, and I would like to be able to shower this afternoon and get all the, you know, ickies off my fingers. More than you wanted to know? Anyway, I will see y'all hopefully next Wednesday, and have a great week.